And welcome to another edition of 99 Questions. I am your host, Bob Buell. This is, of course, an oddly numbered interview show where we ask all sorts of interesting people interesting questions. And joined with me today, oh my gosh, you might know her from Reno 911. You might know her from Succession. Actress, comedian, it's Mary Birdsong. Mary, how are you today?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Doing fantastic. Even better now.
Right?
It's a lovely Sunday. Good weather out here. Well, where I am. Enjoying the day.
Again, remind me, where are you?
I am out in beautiful New Jersey.
Oh, we didn't even, I don't know if we covered this. I'm a Jersey girl.
Oh, it might come up. It might come up. LBI, oh, yeah. Right?
David, right? Yeah, Long Beach Island, yeah.
Oh, listen, the amount of times I've had down the shore, my heart. Yep. My heart is coated in salt air down there. It's a beautiful thing.
Yes.
But I'm sure we'll have some Jersey-related questions here. The Taylor Ham pork roll debate, who knows?
This day just got 100 times better that somebody just referenced pork roll. The combination of PTSD and like sheer joy nostalgia.
Put that on a Kaiser roll with a little cheese on there. Oh, you're set. But before we dive into the questions, we got a couple quick ground rules, terms and conditions just to get out of the way right up front. Like ground rule number one, take as much time or as little time as you need to answer the question. If a short story about your life helps us get a better answer, I want to hear that story. Or if it's a yes or no, give us a yes or no. Ground rule number two. This is not a Wolf Blitzer interview by any means. So if you want to skip over a question or pass or don't want to answer it, totally fine. No judgment. No worries. And ground rule number three. Despite the name of the show being 99 Questions, I might throw in a follow-up. I might ask you one off the cuff. Some of these, by the English language, are not questions. They're just words I put a question mark at the end of. We're just not going to worry about that all too much. So the first of those non-counting questions, Mary, are you ready?
I am.
Beautiful. All right. Actual. Question number one. What's the perfect breakfast?
Scrambled eggs.
Mm-hmm.
Well-done bacon.
Mm-hmm.
Toast with butter. Salt and pepper, cup of hot tea, glass of water. No tricky curves there. It's very classic, but can't beat it.
I find no fault. I find zero fault here. The only follow-up question I have, what kind of toast?
You know, in a perfect world, I would have to say just good American white toast. What other kind is there? Are you a communist? Gonna say wheat? And this is my follow-up to that. I actually do like bread, but do I ever have scrambled eggs with well-done bacon and toast? No. I have a stupid candy bar for breakfast. I have a protein bar, a chocolate mint zone bar, pretty much every day of my life. That changes today.
Everything's turning around right now. This is the fulcrum. Question two. Who's the coolest dude?
Oh, wow. You know what? Just because, I'm going to say Robert Oppenheimer.
Oh, interesting.
I'm going to go on record and say, even before the movie came out, I was like, he's hot. Styling with that hat and that creepy stare and ice blue eyes. He's a
perfect
looker.
Suit. Perfect suit every time.
Sure.
Well fitting. Tight fitting. Yes, I am. Question three. Steak, chicken, or fish?
Steak.
No hesitation there.
And I have several friends who will give me crap about that later.
That's really why that question's there, just to create a little, spice up a couple arguments later on in the week.
Yeah,
you know?
Right.
Question four, best gift you've ever gotten.
Ooh, wow. That's a tough one.
Mm-hmm.
One is I'm going to do two. One is my sister Anne gives me a series of just creepy, weird dolls that she finds.
Perfect.
Pretty much for any occasion. Like it's like a flamenco dancer that has only one leg. It's, you know, a Mexican doll that's homemade that like one eye, like the thread is coming out and it looks like she's bleeding from the eyes, stuff like that. But the sort of the most used and useful gift I've ever gotten is from my friend Caddy Biscone, who gave me a travel teapot.
Ooh.
Metal and round, it's indestructible. I can take it with me because we live in a coffee culture and I like tea in the morning. And the only problem is if I'm traveling by air, it looks like a little bomb. Like it looks like a cartoon bomb, like that the Roadrunner or Wile E. Coyote would have. So I have to put a thing, this is an actual teapot. But that's my answer.
A post-it note that says, this is not a bomb.
Right. That's probably a bad idea, right? That's...
TSA agent going, all right, this time I'll let you on.
Protest too much.
Question number five, best gift you've ever given.
Oh, a piano.
Oh.
It was kind of a flop in the end because it was basically unusable. But I did buy somebody an old vintage piano and had it delivered. I had some extra cash at the time.
Yeah.
Days when you had expendable income.
Trying to remember those days. it's a very short week.
Like really large. Like I'm going to get the full like 12 pack of toilet paper. I'm talking like money bags.
You know what? Put the avocado on the burrito.
I don't care what you charge me. I'm going to put the avocado on the BLT. Put a blat.
Can't beat a good blat.
Right?
Question six. What did you want to do for a living when you were a kid?
I wanted to be a ballerina.
Ooh, interesting. Again,
a cliche, but, you know, what are you going to do?
Hey, it's fantastic. Got a grand plié and all that jazz. It's wonderful. Question seven. What's the largest animal you can beat in a fight?
Huh. I'm going to say bunny rabbit.
Ooh, really? Okay. Not a huge ceiling on that one.
This is just a guess, too. I'm not going to put money on that.
Okay. All right. We're trying to, you know, sell this arena on pay-per-view. It's going to be a whole thing, but we'll see. We'll see. Question eight. Who's someone you look up to?
You know what? Adam Kinzinger. He's, I believe, senator in Illinois.
Okay.
What's her face? This is going to get me in a lot of trouble because I'm a diehard liberal.
Mm-hmm.
Face the blonde Republican chick. Cheney, Liz Cheney. So Liz Cheney and Adam Kinzinger. I am going to say that I look up to them because they were one of the few on the other side, on the side of the darkness, that had the balls to stand up and say, this is probably wrong what happened. So I think we need more of that. So I'm going to say I admire that.
I love that. Yeah. Question nine. First album you bought with your own money.
Oh, wow. I don't know if a 45 record counts as an album. And I'm sure many of your listeners won't know what I'm talking about when I say a 45. But firstly, there were these things called records that were round. And like the size of a chip, like a big bowl for potato chips, like that size. And then there was a smaller version that was called a 45 that only had one song on each side. And it was 45 rotations per minute. Yeah, that's why it was called a 45.
Oh, yeah.
And we had the Island Record Shop on Long Beach Island. That was the only place you could get music. I really need to be super clear about this. I know this sounds like science fiction or like a pioneer epic where we were going by wagon train across the plains. But if you wanted to listen to a song, you either had to play it yourself on an instrument, find a friend who had a band and say, play me some music, or you had to go to the Island Record Shop and buy it. I mean, unless you had a radio, which I forgot about that part. But long way to say, I'm pretty sure it was Jesse's Girl by Rick Springfield.
Excellent choice.
I'm talking like I went in there before it came out and was like, do you have it in yet? Jesse's Girl? No? Okay, I'll come by tomorrow.
I guess I'll live in a musicless world until tomorrow.
Yeah.
Oh, great. I love that. Excellent choice. Question 10. What's your go-to karaoke song?
Ooh. I would say Son of a Preacher Man. Dusty Springfield.
That's not an easy one to hit every note there. That's pretty impressive.
You know, it's a crowd pleaser.
It is. Question 11, last song you listened to.
Oh, it was this like really sort of beautiful, creepy, classical, like almost like a madrigal. This is so embarrassing, but it was like it almost sounds like something in a horror movie.
Okay.
That's the last song I listened to.
Was it during a horror movie? That
carefully, like as the time for this podcast approached, I should have.
Listen, it's not sponsored by Spotify. It's okay. We can pass it. Question 12. What's a band or musical artist you want to hear more from?
Ooh, this is obscure. But there was a band back in the day named Lone Justice. I saw them open up for U2 in a big stadium. Then one of the lead singer of that band was Maria McKee. And she had a solo career and had a couple of just incredible albums. And I don't know if she's put anything out recently, so I will say that. Maria McKee. Check out her song Scar Lover.
I'm intrigued. I gotta check this out. Question 13. A song that brings the most emotion out of you.
There's a song in the Color Purple soundtrack called Maybe God's Trying to Tell You Something. And it's just a big old like gut bucket gospel number.
Yeah.
Love it.
That's got some power behind it.
Yeah. It's like, it's good to listen to if you're like, I don't run that much anymore. I mostly walk. But if you're a runner, it's good to put that, make sure that's on your like playlist, because no matter how tired you are at the end, like when that comes on, you're like, I can do it. God is trying to tell me something. It's a half a mile.
That's going to get you through the home stretch every time. Right. Yeah. 14. What's your favorite music video?
Oh man, these are hard. I'm gonna say Blinded Me with Science by Thomas Dolby.
Ooh.
It was pretty elaborate. It was like one of those where they were like, let's just make the movie. Do you know what I mean? Like, there's nothing abstract about it. There was just a literal representation of everything that happens in the song. Like,
those are always my favorite though. Like, listen, it's great to have the more out there and more thematic ones. But
it's great, but why not have come in a lab coat and literally blind me with science? Why gild the lily? That's good enough.
15. You got $1 million, but you have to donate it all to charity. What charity is it going to?
$1 million?
Mm-hmm.
Damn it. Fuck the children. I'm giving it to Ukraine.
Yeah. I love that.
I mean, there aren't children in Ukraine, so.
Yeah. It's going to help them.
Yeah.
That's the one of, I'm basically a mud of a whole bunch of things, but I'm 50% Ukrainian. So,
oh my gosh, mad props. They probably don't say that anymore, but I certainly don't say it in Ukraine. But I have to say, when that fucking sailor or whoever it was in the Ukrainian army who basically said, "Russian warship, go fuck yourself." Do you remember that?
The greatest quote ever.
Nobody has been more badass on a global scale than that. Like, I want to meet that guy, and I'm praying that he's still alive. But I really do. One of my best friends is Ukrainian. And the more I learn about what's gone down there, the more I'm just like, oh. So, yeah.
Beautiful country. I'd love to visit it one day. 16. Favorite holiday?
You know what? I Christmas. Sorry. Just that's really, I hate all the like angst that comes with it, but I love all the little trappings and the.
It's for sure has the most accoutrement around it.
Yeah, exactly.
You got cookies just for it. You got songs just for it. You got everything.
The rest of them are just kind of catching up. You know what I mean? They're like, we need more accoutrement.
Thanksgiving is like a mile behind it going, hold on. I'm chasing. We're getting there. 17. What's your go-to drink when you walk into a coffee shop?
A coffee shop? I would say a latte. Just a good old latte. Hot, not cold.
Oh, lots
of milk. Lots of milk.
You got to.
Mm-hmm. And sweet and low, because I'm still stuck in the 80s. If I only see yellow and blue packets, I get seriously bummed out and anxious. Like, it's really sad. If I don't see pink packets.
They got a monopoly on pink packets. They, you know, strong branding for X amount of years. I don't know how long.
Right? I mean, it's a great band name, too. The Pink Packets.
Trademark pending.
Yes, I do keep some in my bag, in my purse.
Yes.
Because I'm 85. Okay.
question 18. This is a biggie here. Spell the word gray.
Well, there are two different spellings, if I'm not mistaken.
But how would you spell it? What does your heart tell you? What does your innate
heart being? Is G-R-E-Y. As in Earl Grey, the T. But I believe there is a G-R-A-Y. So now nothing makes sense.
In this topsy-turvy world, there's two grays.
What was the answer?
Oh, it's a fiercely debated question. So I think from a... I was going to say legally, it's not a legal thing. From a word definition, EY is the preferred European spelling, and AY is the preferred American spelling.
Makes sense.
But it varies, and my favorite answer I always get on this one is like, EY is like a mood. Like if it's like a foggy night, that's
like thin air. It's that like, yes.
But like if it's a crayon, that's G-R-A-Y. I mean, that's just, you know.
I'm the person who still likes to spell pajamas with a Y. So, and I do it just to be obnoxious.
We could throw an extra Y in gray. Why not?
Yeah.
We'll find a spot for it somewhere. 19. What's your prized possession?
My sketchbook / journal.
Oh. Interesting. Mm. Now, do you have one sketchbook that you've just maybe had for a while, or?
They tend to, no, I have like stacks and stacks of them. Like I write in my, I'm going to push my glasses up, give you the visual. I read it every morning while I have my tea. but I do. It's like a little bit of an OCD morning ritual, but yeah.
I love that. That must be so cool to go back in years ago and just being able to like, just see where you were at, you know?
Yeah, pretty enlightening. That's wow, exactly the same place. Nothing has changed. No, that's not true. But yeah, it's fun.
That's great. Question 20. Are you competitive?
Yes.
Again, with no hesitation.
Are you competitive? Yes.
21. Do you consider golf a sport?
No. I mean, I know it is, and I can't do it, so maybe it, you know, I'm not good at it. But that's, no. Are you sweating? If you're sweating, then maybe. But if you're not, no.
Probably not. Yeah. Let's see, you got to hit a ball once, and then you drive, like, 15 minutes or something. I don't know how it works.
No, it's like a skill. You know what I mean?
Yes.
I mean, is darts a sport? I guess it probably is. I don't know.
Let's see. These are the hotly debated topics we bring on the show.
Sport, you should get dirty and sweat and possibly injure or break something on your body.
Okay.
If none of those boxes are ticked, then you're out of luck. You're not playing a sport.
I'm going to submit this to the judges. We're going to see what we can get done here. 22. Have you ever played any sports?
Yes, badly. Basketball, because 5'2". Ridiculous.
Yeah.
I have no idea what happens in soccer. I tried. And I was just very, very confused.
Gotcha.
I think that's it. I do enjoy baseball, and I was on a softball team. I kind of enjoyed softball, yeah.
Nice. I just don't know how soccer players don't twist their ankle like 15 times a day. I feel like I'd be limping every day if I played soccer. I don't get it. 23, favorite sport to watch?
I mean, the girly in me is like figure skating. But I actually really enjoy watching football.
Very nice. Very nice. 24, theme parks.
Do I approve of them?
The question I believe is theme park question mark. So however you want to interpret that, just general thoughts. I
enjoy a good theme park because so escapist. Like I love that. Like, just pretend the world doesn't exist for a few hours. I'm all for that. I think that's very necessary.
I like that thinking.
In fact, they should have like a theme park that's like an imaginary world from 1992. You know what I mean?
That would be fun.
It was entirely fucked up and just was like normal life. But it's still like, in general, bad people are bad and good people are good. And there are facts and truths. That's the whole premise.
A lot of flannel. Yeah. A lot of flannel.
Sure. Yes.
I'm down for this. I'm. If you're starting a Kickstarter, I'm funding this 90s theme park. Question 25. Dubbed the Ron Bennington after famous radio personality. You're standing in a wrestling ring, and a wave of 9-year-olds, a random mix of boys and girls, are coming down to that ring to fight you. How many 9-year-olds could you beat in this fight?
You said it's a wave of them?
One solid wave of X number of 9-year-olds. Yeah. How many do you think you could take when maybe one more could take you on?
I'm going to say minimum 16.
Wow. I don't
get shit from kids. No. Get out of here. Shut up. Knock it off.
This is what you're telling them as you're swatting them out of the way.
Knock it off. Shenanigans, malarkey. Stop it.
See, this is the pay-per-view we need. This is where the money's at. 26. What's a game you know you can win?
Boggle.
Ooh.
I enjoy a good boggle.
I like a good boggling. Yeah. 27. What topic can you discuss the most?
Oh, man. Like, this is embarrassing. No, I'm going to stop saying that. Just ancient history, like especially, I don't know, like the medieval period or, oh, and also children who have past life memories.
You have my interest here. Okay. Yeah, when like a five-year-old is like, can clearly have a memory of like being 50 or something.
Yeah, like they have like an insider's knowledge of how a World War II biplane works. Like, you know what I mean? I have to like stop myself from walking up to, because I don't have kids. So like, but I really, I'm like dying to just walk up to random kids and be like, so do you have any recollection of like anything weird pre-birth?
Thoughts on FDR? Anything?
Yeah, right, anything right. That son of a bitch.
Ah, I got you. Twenty-eight. Favorite place you visited?
Israel. Shout out to all the stuff that's going on, prayers and peace and all that stuff. Yeah. But I went to Jerusalem and it was pretty intense. Yeah.
Oh, I'd imagine. Yeah, that's amazing.
And London.
Oh, London picking up the silver. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
29. What's your catchphrase?
It has to be a catchphrase, or is it like curse words, or?
I would say whatever would make, if they made an action figure of you tomorrow, what would make the most sense to have the pull string on the back say?
Yeah, no, I'm going to stay in. That's what you would say. I'm just going to stay in. Like, it could be anything. You want to go to the inauguration? I'm going to stay in.
Nah, I got some stuff to do.
You want to go with this bag of gold I just found? It's about a mile away. I'm going to stay in.
Seems like too much. I'm already in sweats. Like, I'm not.
No, she's like the anti-action figure. She's the passive figure.
Yes. The passive figure. We found a hole in the market. There we go. Question 30. What's the best costume or cosplay you ever wore?
Oh, I am probably proudest of when I was, I think, a freshman at NYU. I went as my NYU ID card. I took an underbed storage box, one of those cardboard things, and put hands on each end, and I had a hole cut out for my face. And
brilliant. Brilliant.
Oh, and one other one was when McCain and Obama were running for president, McCain had just said, like, I believe that the economy is fundamentally sound. And I thought that was ridiculous at the time. So I went dressed as the economy, and I was basically like a slut with like a broken arm and a tiara and a crutch. And I had like a stripper's dress on with like dollar bills attached to it. And I had a sign that said, I'm fundamentally sound. So that was super nerdy, political.
Nerdy and topical at the time.
And topical. I was like, I got to find my people, right? Just weed out the ones that are not appropriate.
I think it's perfect.
Yeah.
31. Have you ever had anything named after you?
I don't think so. No, not that I'm aware of.
No actual bird songs? Because that would be pretty ironic.
You mean like no, like children named bird song?
No, like a song for a bird.
Oh, well, there is a Grateful Dead song called Bird Song, but I'm pretty sure it predates me. So I guess that can't be.
They might have retconned it or something. Retroactively named after you. I don't, you know.
But it is, it's like my, whatever, it's my dad's name. So, you know.
I gotcha. 32, hobby you've dedicated the most time to?
I would say drawing.
As those sketchbooks indicate.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I highly recommend it. Like, I'm not great at it, you know, but there's something really fun about doing something creative that you have no ego involved in. Yeah.
Just to get that whatever side of your brain working.
Yeah. It's like the painting side that we were just like, at some point we were like, I think I can't, I probably shouldn't be finger painting anymore. Like, that's a sad day. Keep finger painting. That's my
doing method. That'll be the backup catchphrase on the action figures.
Yeah.
Keep finger painting. 30. Mm-hmm. 33. Who's a celebrity you've had a crush on?
Ooh. Well, there's Robert Oppenheimer, but we already covered that. Mark Ruffalo. Or Ruffalo.
Is it Ruffalo?
Ruffalo. I don't know. I don't know how to pronounce his name. I can't even say his name. That's how hot I think he is.
You know how to pronounce his name. Va-va-voom is how you pronounce it. Yeah,
that's right. That would really turn him on, I bet, if I just walked up to him and said, Auska!
Had your tongue do one of those cartoon wolf things.
Yeah. It's like catnip for the felons. They can't get enough of it.
Oh, yeah. They're in.
That's why I haven't done it. I don't want to intimidate him and make him feel bad that he's married. Yeah. Yeah,
he would give up everything for it.
I don't want to bum him out that he can't have the bird song, you know? But yeah, he's very talented and very handsome if he's listening. Even if he's not listening, he's very talented and very handsome. In case, like, the second cousin of his best friend's wife is listening.
The Ruffalo family, big fans. Big fans of the show. 34. What's the strangest job you ever had?
Oh, I was a, I sold, I worked at the Germaine Monté makeup counter.
Oh.
Doing promotional stuff at a mall. I had to dress up like a French chef and sing Edith Piaf songs in French a cappella while selling champagne truffles with my friend Thomas all day. And that gets old fast. And it quickly, like, because the champagne, there was actual champagne in the truffles, like, we started getting kind of drunk after, and it was like the lost episode of I Love Lucy, where
you know,
find the chocolates and the Vita Vita Vegemin, where she gets like hammered on. So it was all of those. And I remember at one point, literally just going into the ladies' room, sitting on the toilet. Like, I didn't have to go to the bathroom, but I just wanted to like sit on the toilet and cry with my chef hat on.
Oof.
You know.
Wow.
But I got through it, you know.
And it made you stronger.
That's right.
We assume, you know. Yeah. 35. Book you'd recommend the world to read.
Oh, no brainer. It's nonfiction. It's called The Alphabet Versus the Goddess.
Ooh.
That's another thing. It's by Leonard Schlein. You can get hard copies or Audible, I believe. But it's fascinating. The guy has a theory that part of what shifted religious worship from male deity or from female deities to male deities was the advent of humans learning to read. Basically the printing press. Like, it's too complicated to explain in a podcast, but that's another thing I can super nerd out about. But it's really, really good and really compelling. If you're like a nerd word kind of gal.
I'm a nerd word gal. Yeah.
It's the first thing I thought when I saw you today.
I can't walk down the street without someone yelling it at me. Yeah. What's the name of that book one more time? That actually sounds really
Alphabet Versus the Goddess. But, okay. And his, I'm going to nerd out for one second. Like, the postulation being like that there's something about the linear reading of text from, you know, left to right or right to left, it activates certain parts of our brain that tend toward the more traditionally like masculine sort of aggressive side of our brains or parts of our brains, rather, because before that, we took in information all at once as visuals happening all at the same time. Whereas with text, we go like, there's a chronological order to it.
Yeah.
You know, sequential thing, and it activates very different parts of our brain. So, yeah. Oh that my is... God. So sorry, listeners. Are you back?
Everyone. And I'm looking at the analytics. And yeah, they're back. Okay. Good thing I got those live analytics. That worked out. 36. A movie that always makes you laugh.
Oh, Young Frankenstein.
Oh, that's my favorite movie. Yes. Yes.
Right?
Every see, this is where I'm going to nerd out now. Every character in that has at least five amazing moments. Cloris Leachman, amazing. Gene Wilder, amazing. Madeline Kahn, maybe yes. In her prime.
Yeah.
Marty Harry Feldman.
Marty Feldman. And Frankenstein himself. Why am I blanking on who that is?
Oh, Peter Boyle.
Yeah. And every single time I watch it, I think it's not going to make me laugh this time. And every single time it does.
Every time. When Gene Wilder gets in the cell with Frankenstein and he gives the whole spiel of like, don't let me out under any circumstances. And he's in there for a quarter of a second. He makes one growl and he turns right back to the door. He goes, let me out. Gets me every time. Every time.
It's the best.
So perfectly timed.
Ugh. And I cannot tell you the number of times I say sedative in a year. Totally out of context. Sedative?
It's a perfect film. It's perfect.
Yes.
Oh, gosh. 30. Ba-ba-ba-ba-ba. 37. What's the worst movie you've ever seen?
It's wonderfully bad. There's, I think it's called Angel, Angel, Down We Go.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a musical in the 70s, I believe. And it's just so horrible. It's like one of those movies where everybody was just really probably tripping and like there was nobody there to say like, guys, this is not, we shouldn't, nobody cares. This isn't, yeah. You know, like, it's, yeah, it's great. I want to make a musical of it someday, but.
Oh, would love to see that. 38. Who's your favorite actor or actress?
This is not, I mean, I love Gary Oldman.
Mm.
Love him. I also love Helena Bonham Carter. I think I'm going to end it there. There's so many. But
that's a strong one and two, though. That's fantastic.
Oh, also, I really love Toby Huss, a Reno 911 alum.
Oh.
Played a number of characters on Reno. And he's been in a bunch of other stuff, but he's just really great character actor.
I'd love that. 39. How cool was it in Jurassic Park when the raptors are running through the kitchen?
Again, I apologize. I have never seen Jurassic Park.
Oh! Oh!
But I'm going to say it's pretty darn cool. I'm going to assume it's cool.
The analytics were dropping for a second, and they're right back up. They're right back up after the pretty cool. Okay. We got there. Question 40. First show as a kid you got really into?
Ooh, probably the Carol Burnett Show. Yeah, just lived for it. But all of them, Donnie and Marie, Shields and Yarnell, Sonny and Cher, you know. I just wanted a mommy and a daddy.
Now for the audio listeners, Mary's laid across the couch. I'm holding a therapist book. I don't know how this is happening.
This is a sad statement on our culture, but I was so into the Miss America pageant. I lived for that shit. Like today, girls are being told, you can be president. You can be an astronaut. I was like, maybe someday I can parade in a bathing suit and talk about peace and love and twirl a baton.
Talk very briefly about peace and love. That was always the shortest part of the show.
Yes.
Like two sentences on world peace would be good.
It's kind of a good thing. Yeah, long.
Yeah, vaguely positive on it.
Yeah.
Question 41. Who should play you in a movie of your life?
Wow, that's hard. I mean, she's not a comedian, but sometimes people say that Rachel Weisz reminds. Maybe one of the chicks from Absolutely Fabulous, although probably not in the right age range.
We could do like that Irishman CGI. Like, we can make it work.
And also, I just love Marilyn Rice Cub, and she's so good. But that's a toughie. I may have to revisit that.
Okay. We'll put out a couple offers. We'll see who bites. Right. 42. Who's the biggest celebrity you've ever met in person?
Tom Hanks, I think. I think that would be the biggest.
That's up there.
Yeah, there was like this one night that it was like a zombie movie, but instead of the undead, it was like celebrities that were... It was just, I was like, not at a safe distance. Do you know what I mean? I was like supposed to mingle among them. And I was like, I can't take it.
Too many stars.
It's just like, no, I'm just cleaning up. I'm, you know, can I refresh your drink?
You panicked, pretended to be staff, and just left.
It's a really good tool. If anybody out there with social anxiety, if you're at a party, just start cleaning things. At the very least, people will be grateful, you know?
That's honestly pretty good advice.
Right?
43. TV show or podcast that you love, but you don't think anyone else knows about?
Well, this is sort of like a guilty pleasure, but Forensic Files is really entertaining. It's a great thing to turn on, like, if you just want to kind of go to sleep and you just need... you know, something like the announcer, it's just great because the whole thing centers around how advanced the forensic science technology is to solve crimes. But the whole thing was made like 15 years ago, or maybe as many as 30 years ago. So it's all like, this floppy disk holds all the answers to the crime that they thought they could get away with. Like, it's fantastic. Everything's dated. The graphics are dated. It's always the husband who did it. You know, and it's always like, you know, the person who's accused is like, yeah, and then I just went to the bank and like I wasn't anywhere near them, but he didn't go to the bank. Like the narrator is really shaming and like judgy. It's really great.
Oh, this sounds like an A+ show.
Yeah. And there's just like 100,000 of them and they're only a half an hour, you know. So it's good. It's all tied up in a bow. The bad guy always gets it. It's just fantastic.
44. Favorite comedian?
Oh. Darn it, there's so many. It's like Sophie's Choice. Like, I can't choose one over another. I really love Amy Schumer. I'm going to say it. And also, I love Dave Attell, Jim Gaffigan, Conan O'Brien, all of them. Yeah. I used to work as a waitress in comedy clubs. So I got very used to hearing like the same routines over and over again. It was really cool. Really cool to see all the work that goes into it.
Is Dave Attell not one of the like secretly most hardworking guys in comedy? I feel like he's been going nonstop for 40 years and like no one acknowledges that
pretty much. And I will say this, like before I waitressed in comedy clubs, I thought that like comics made up a new routine every time they got on stage. I was, you know, that was shattered quickly, but he was almost like that. Like, he was the one who was constantly doing new stuff. Yeah. Very, very cool.
New York legend.
Yep.
Ooh,
I still remember, like, eggnog. Gee. I want to get shit-faced, but I also want pancakes. Eggnog.
It's a great bit. That's right. Great. 45, best Saturday Night Live cast member.
Ooh, I'm going to say Gilda Radner.
Mm.
Just love her, love her, love her.
I literally just rewatched, like, yesterday. What was it? It was her and Steve Martin.
Yeah.
And they just dance for like 4 minutes. Yes. It's the parody of, I forget.
They did some classical that dance. Whole episode. Yeah, it's pretty magical. The two of them together.
Oh, it makes me want to cry. I'm laughing so hard. I love it. 46. What's the nerdiest thing you've done?
Ooh. Ah. Oh, this is good. So in my neighborhood, they have tiny libraries. Are you familiar with that?
Like the little post office box library things?
Little boxes with see-through door, and you can take a book and give a book.
Yeah.
There's a lot of them suddenly in my neighborhood. And so I'll like go for a walk or a hike or a jog or whatever and like check out if there's anything cool in there. And, you know, sometimes I'll find a book in there. But if I don't find it, some days I don't know what triggers it, but I will definitely, I've turned into the woman who like compulsively needs to straighten them so that the binders are all like in descending height and the depth is all even. And it really bums me out if I can't make that happen. It's like we have so little control over so many things. Like if I can do that, it's like the balance of the universe has been restored.
The microcosm has been achieved. You got there.
Yeah. Oh, it's like, I did that. Look, I have agency.
It's according to the Dewey Decimal System. Look, check. 47, least favorite state.
Florida. And I was born there.
Oh. Yep.
Florida, New Jersey.
You know what? Yeah.
Every bad headline, every embarrassing American grossness that Europeans hate about us happens in Florida.
It doesn't help that it also just rains like every day at noon. Like, someone figure that out. What's going on?
I balanced it out by doing Disney World there. You know what I mean? It was like that almost corrected it. But then the pendulum just swung that much harder to the gross factor and like.
Yeah, it's a wild state down there.
People in Florida, I apologize, but like I said, I was born there, so I'm allowed.
48, best thing you've ever won.
Have I won anything? Oh, well, yes, I won a, this is back in college, but for some reason I'm prouder of it than like even professional things that I've won. The Stella Adler Award for Outstanding Achievement in Acting.
Oh.
I felt very, very fancy. I'm just going to say that.
You should.
Yeah. Because the rest of the kids in my class were all like, well, I studied with Ibsen when I was 5, and then I went to London. And I was like, I like Gilligan's Island. I want to be an actor so I can be on One Day at a Time and Miss America. So I was like, suck it.
A friend of Stella Adler is a friend of mine, let me tell you. 49. Is there anything you've collected or had a collection of?
Yes. I really enjoy dainty teacups. I like, like, especially like the sort of thinner and more fragile, the better. And, for a while, I was collecting Judy Garland stuff.
Ooh. Like and memorabilia or like
books, odd recordings, that kind of thing. And I a pretty extensive like costume collection. Although I don't know if that counts as a collection. It's just stuff that I had to use that I haven't thrown away. But yeah. I liked to dress up. That's basically what it all boiled.
Good enough for me. Question 50, dubbed the Ryan Davis, and the last of the fighting questions, I swear. You're in a fight to the death with another person equal to your size. You're offered either an aluminum baseball bat or a 6-inch non-serrated knife, knowing the other weapon you don't choose goes to your opponent. So which do you choose, knife or bat?
Without a doubt, the bat.
Without a doubt, the bat. Okay. Yeah.
I just feel like it would be really satisfying to swing it. The momentum. Also, I could be further away from them and still strike them. And also, the idea of cutting somebody, I would like immediately apologize or something. You know what I mean? Like, I just would like, that just seems excessive. Somehow bashing them in the head until they're dead seems more polite.
That's the inner Jersey in you, I think.
Right? You don't want to break skin. Just want to incapacitate them.
Now, we need to take a quick break just to pay the bills here. So I'm going to pretend to clean up at this party and tell you that the song that's playing right now is from the Mini Vandals. The song you're going to hear coming back from break is from DJ Williams. The opening song is from Diala, and the closing one is from Single Friend. And if you're enjoying the show, maybe, hey, tell a friend. Retweet something, blue sky something. I don't know. What do people do? Send an email. Fax someone. I would love to see the link to this show in a fax. Let's get back to the show.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
We got one more thing before we get back to the show. Something brand new, something I'm very excited about. It's the 99 Questions Hotline? Hotline. Sure, that's what we're going to go with. I created a phone number for you to call. You can leave me a voicemail. If you have questions for me, if you have questions about the show, if you have questions for future guests, you can call in, leave a voicemail, and your voice might be the one actually asking the question live on the show. Well, not live, it's pre-recorded, but you know what I mean. I got the number right here, 732-592-9838. That spells out Real Wax Vet. That's right, Real Wax Vet. Like a veterinarian who's really made of wax. I don't know, all the good numbers are taken, so this is the closest one I could get. Real Wax Vet. One more time, that's 732-592-9838. Give it a call, leave a message, have a great day. One, what's your phone wallpaper right now?
My phone wall? Oh, my phone wallpaper. It is the paneling that I had as a child. I can't show it to you. Usually I can do the blank screen. But it's, yeah, it's like that 1970s, like shitty wood paneling.
Yeah.
I just wanted something that wasn't busy. And
that's good.
And sad and depressing. That's what I want.
Checks every box.
Right.
52. What's the last thing you Googled?
Oh, I think I'd need to look this up, right? To be really accurate.
Sure.
Hold on. Where's my... Oh, I'll look at my computer, which is where I am right now. Please.
Oh, I like an official documented answer.
Right? See, I don't think I've ever Googled anything, apparently, from my... I already know everything, apparently.
Impressive.
I guess this counts. The quick brown fox jumps over the lazy dog. For your listeners that don't know, that's a pangram that includes all the letters of the alphabet in one sentence.
Mm-hmm. And just making sure you had the wording right or whatnot.
It's complicated. I was doing it for research, but I just wanted to see.
Okay, I gotcha. Mm-hmm. 53. You have to name your next pet without seeing them. What do you name them?
Atticus. I think that's from To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah. Be great if it was a finch.
Good one. Nice. Atticus Finch or Atticus Fish.
Oh, very strong. Very strong. Yeah, if it was just a dog at that point, it's like, hey, this is good, but there's leaving some puns on the table, you know? 54. What professional wrestler would you compare yourself to?
I would have to say Hulk Hogan, because that's the only wrestler I can name.
You know, usually that's what the question becomes.
Right profile? I mean, right? You wouldn't think it, but then I turn and it's like, wait a minute.
Mr. Hogan, is that? Oh, yeah. 55. What's your comfort food on a bad day?
Biscuits with butter.
Ooh. Solid. That's solid. 56. Favorite smell?
Hyacinths. Or jasmine.
57. Best candy.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
That is the correct answer right there.
I'll have to point out that was one syllable. Reese's Peanut Butter Cup.
Because midway through, you're just thinking about it. Right. Your mouth starts salivating. Like, you can't
get to the end of the word. That'll get me faster toward eating one.
58. Worst candy.
Oh, anything with fruit and chocolate together. No, stop it.
Oh.
Cut it out. Get that out of here.
Even like a chocolate covered.
Blasphemer.
That's fair.
It be unnatural. I feel that.
If they wanted strawberries to be chocolate covered, they should have came off the vine like that.
Be fine on their own. Don't make them fight it out like that.
I don't know. 59. What's a restaurant you'd recommend?
There's a great Irish place.
Ooh.
Called McDonald's. I'm bad at restaurants. I honestly could not tell you. I can't even name a restaurant. Like, I'm that bad at it.
Okay.
Oh, no, I take it back. Oh. On Long Beach Island, if it still exists, at the southern tip of the island, there's a teeny tiny little place called the Holiday Snack Bar. And it's got like a round or octagonal countertop where everybody sits, and the waitresses and waiters are all inside the circle countertop.
Yeah.
And they sell these hamburgers that are like the wimpy hamburgers on Popeye. They're just like perfect little, and pies. Like, it's just the best. It's not a chain. It's not foo-foo. It's not elite. It's not, it's just the holiday snack bar, and it's delightful.
It sounds amazing. Well, I'm going to have to check out whether this is still in business after the show.
Me too.
I sure hope so. 60. No, just 60. What's a food you've never eaten?
Bison.
No bison at the holiday snack bar?
Not even chocolate covered bison. I'm not
missing out. You're missing out. 61. Strangest food that you have eaten.
I haven't eaten like bugs or anything exotic like that. I got nothing.
Okay. Well, how about this? I have lawyers rushing me from all sides. I go, stand down. 62. What's a typical day off?
I am just going to do a callback to my action figure who says, I'm going to stay in.
Yeah.
A typical day off. Yeah. It's just like drawing and like maybe making a video or doing some sort of music thing and taking a nice long walk and maybe playing a game of Scrabble with somebody. Nerding out on some history thing, doing some sort of crafty thing. I just love making stuff.
Love that. That sounds like a phenomenal day.
Yeah.
63. Bucket list item that you accomplished.
I went on an archaeological dig.
Whoa. Yeah. Okay.
That was linked into the Jerusalem answer.
Right. Oh, that sounds fascinating.
It was really fun, yeah. And a lot of dirt. Way more dirt than you would think.
And you would expect a fair amount of dirt.
Yeah, but like it wasn't like I thought it was going to, you know, like on the History Channel, it looks all like there's music in the background and a, you know.
They use like a tiny paintbrush and they just like find the tip of a mountain or something.
Right.
64. Bucket list item you probably won't accomplish.
Ooh. I mean, there's nothing I'm not going to do. I'm going to do it all.
That's the attitude. No, this was a test and you passed.
I'm probably not going to do, let's say, I plead the fifth because like there's plenty of stuff I'm not going to do. Like I'm never going to go on a cruise. I have no interest. But like, I feel like if I'm going to put it on my bucket list, I'm going to do it. Otherwise, why put it there?
I like this mentality. I'm all for it. 65, dubbed by previous guests, the realest question of the bunch. Name of a friend you don't keep in contact with, but regret it.
Oh. Mm-hmm. Nina Tool. Also known as Christina Tool. Mm. Like every now and then. But, you know, not like we were in fifth grade kind of thing. Yeah.
Well, Mina, big fan of the show. I'll be in contact.
Out there, give me a call. Or I'll give you a call.
Yeah. 66. What's a game that makes you feel nostalgic?
Weirdly, Yahtzee.
Oh.
Like, Yahtzee Parcheesi, I feel like.
Like classic board games, kind of.
Yeah. And like, I feel like they were of their time. Maybe people still play them, but I don't.
I played Yahtzee for the first time like 6 months ago.
Really?
Yeah. Somehow I just avoided it. And
like it's a person like, oh, good for Yahtzee. Do it. my best to their mom. Like, what? What?
Yahtzee's doing well. Just got a new condo.
Good. It's got over that tough patch that it had, you know.
Oh, yeah. After the divorce, it was rough.
Yeah. Really.
67. What game have you spent the most time playing?
Scrabble.
68. What's something you've built with your own hands?
Looking around. This very laptop that we're zooming now.
God.
2x4s myself. No. One time I built a steering wheel for a prop for a show. Maybe that counts.
Yeah, that absolutely counts.
As proud as I got the little bumpy wavy thing on the outside that not all have, but I got it. I achieved it.
Look at this. Bravo. Bravo. 69. Best pickup line.
Apparently it's meow. Because my cat just piped in big time. best pickup line. Hi. I find you very attractive, and I'd like to spend the rest of my life leaving you alone. Except for the occasional visit and going to dinner stuff.
Mr. Ruffalo, please. What a lie.
My goodness.
So forward. Question 70. Have you ever had any good nicknames?
Otis.
Oh.
There's a basketball player named Otis Birdsong. And so my friend Jimmy Palumbo, who has a podcast you should all check out, he nicknamed me Otis. So now, and he's from Jersey. Every time he sees me, Otis!
With a name like Jimmy Palumbo, I could have told you he was a Jerseyan.
100%, yeah.
Oh, I love it. 71. Do you believe in love at first sight?
I do.
Love that. 72. What's a big turn off of yours?
Entitlement.
Yeah.
Partly because I'm jealous. Like, it's not like I just don't feel entitled to entitlement. So I think that's just like it makes me mad. Why don't I have entitlement?
Yeah. It'd be nice just to be like, oh, you have like a great granduncle who just like left you $1 billion or whatever. Like, okay, that'd be sweet.
I deserve everything good. Like, that'd be a nice character flaw to have, right? You had to pick.
I could deal with that, I think. Yeah.
Over that.
73. Do you consider yourself an artist?
You know what? This is very exciting. I do.
Yes. I don't think I
said that even 2 years ago.
Really? So what do you think as...
Or genius or brilliant. But artist, yes.
Interesting. Now, what do you think changed in those 2 years that you would have said yes? Just the repetition of it or...
I think it's like... One was the influence of a friend who started saying it about himself. P.S. I know like 25 Andys and they're all going to think it's about them. So partly that, but also partly just really realistically looking at what do I do most of the time? What am I doing every day?
Yeah.
You know, what do I like to do? You know? And so, yeah, like it's not like something highfalutin. It's just I'm a plumber. Like I fix pipes. Like, you know, I'm an artist. I make shit. You know what I mean? Like,
oh, 1000%.
Yeah.
I always say art is a category. It's like food. You don't have to like a tuna sandwich, but you got to acknowledge that it's food.
Yeah, that's a good way to look at it. And P.S. making a sandwich can often be art.
That's true. That's true.
In an awful circle. It's all the Matrix. I don't know what that means. Okay.
This podcast sponsored by Big Sandwich? I don't know.
Big cold cuts are taking over.
I sold out to pastrami. 74. What's something you tried to cook and failed?
Ugh. One time I tried to make, I think they were like oatmeal raisin cookies or something, or some kind of cookies that called for cloves. And by accident, I used whole cloves. So they're like cookies with nails in them. If you've ever seen a whole clove, they're basically like little spikes.
Yeah.
Like that you tie a railroad track down with, that you hammer into a railroad track.
I've only ever used cloves in making like a hot toddy. Like you put it in a lemon or you put it in the thing. And yeah, that in a cookie does not seem like at several all.
Several of them. Like, this is ow, ow, ow.
Not great. Question 75. Dubbed the Ben Hansen after the first guest of this year's show. What's the greatest piece of art ever made?
Oh, I'm going to say, just because of the reaction I had to it, I don't even remember the name of it, but it is Van Gogh. But it was painted, it's these like cedar trees, I believe, these very tall cedar trees that he's, and the view is from his point of view, looking out the window, and he painted it while he was in a mental asylum. After, I think after a suicide attempt or something. And it was so beautiful, and reading the description, and normally I'm not real big on reading those like descriptions and context and like, please don't tell me what this is about. Like don't even,
I'm going to interpret it. And
cause I think 9 times out of 10, they're like, this is about the dichotomy of violence and feminine culture in America. Like the artist would be like, fuck off. No, it's not. My coffee table. End of story. But there was something so beautiful to me about him, like even in the mental asylum, like wanting to kill himself, he still couldn't stop. Like he still, there was still like something worth about that, that was worth doing.
Yeah.
You know? So I found that really beautiful. That's like the only time I cried looking at a piece of art, I think.
Oh, I love that.
Thanks, Vincent.
Good job, Vinny. You did it. Yeah. 76. Have you ever had something happen to you that you would consider paranormal?
Yes.
Oh?
Yeah. There have been times where I've like felt some sort of like energy or that I just couldn't account for.
Yeah.
Like feel somebody behind you and then you look and there's actually a person behind you because you can kind of sense that presence. So definitely things like that. Nothing like, and then it landed on my kitchen counter and I, you know.
That'd be pretty cool though. It did.
Right? Yeah.
77. Would you ever use a Ouija board?
Sure.
Why not?
I have when I was younger. And my mother went to go see The Exorcist. It was in the movie theaters at the time. It was that long ago. And she came home and she immediately threw out our Ouija board. I was the movie, Mommy. Fine. Never mind.
78. Simply, why?
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 I'm going to say, because the alternative is really boring.
Yeah, I'm looking to the judges. They're saying correct on that one. Okay.
Yeah, I win.
Confetti starts falling. How did I set that up? That's amazing.
Oh.
79. If given the chance, when would you time travel to?
Ooh.
Mm-hmm.
No parameters of like past or future?
Anywhere you want. You set the dial.
Ah, the future is so tempting. And yet, I'm going to say 15th century Spain in Al-Andalus.
Oh, now what are you doing with your trip there? Just absorbing, just seeing? Are you
happen, man? That's where all the cool people were. You know, that was like the Greenwich Village of the Renaissance.
Wow.
We're all chill. I'm like, you're an Arab. That's cool, man. I'm a Christian. Hey, what's up, Jew? Like, they just were all partying and making shit. And I'm oversimplifying, but I think it was kind of like that.
I'd imagine it was. Yeah. Right? Only one way to find out. I'm gonna get this time machine. Question 80. Have you ever made a sudden dramatic change to your lifestyle and stuck to it?
Oof, yeah.
Ooh.
I think the hardest thing of that was I quit smoking. And that Ooh. Was cold turkey, and that was I was homicidal. I am not ashamed to admit that.
That is so difficult. I have always heard. Yeah. So good on you. 81. What game show, past or present, would you love to be a contestant on?
Ooh. I guess Hollywood Squares.
Ooh. That's a great answer.
Is there a $10,000 or is it $25,000? I don't know what inflation is.
For the pyramid?
Yeah.
I think they had a bunch of them, 25? Didn't they? It went up with inflation, I want to say.
It'll be an interesting study to see if it really is or not. Yeah, let's go with Hollywood Squares.
Now, if you get to choose your square, where are you going? Are you taking the Paul Lynde? Are you taking the middle? Are you?
No.
Okay.
I'm thinking maybe like one diagonal over from Paul or one next to Paul. I'd like to be next to Paul.
You want to mm-hmm. see it happen.
Pretty close to the action. I want to be in the room where it happens. But I don't want to be the room.
Yes, right. Yes. And then in case it gets too busy, you say you're cleaning up and then you're out of there. So perfect. Right.
Exactly.
82. What's a quote that you love?
I'm going to get up and I'm going to walk because I wrote it down the other day and I'm going to read it.
Oh, please.
See,
we're getting definitives on this show. I love it.
Here it goes. Sometimes I go about pitying myself, and all the while I'm being carried across the sky by beautiful clouds. That's an Ojibwe Indian saying.
That's beautiful.
Nice.
83, just as impactful, I'm sure. What's the best shirt that you own?
Oh, I think the one I have one that says I shart the sheriff, which I'm very proud of. I made that shirt, a t-shirt. But I also had just a genuine one. I have a Gillies t-shirt that I love. It's about four sizes too small, which is not perfect. A problem. And I have a Getting Lucky in Kentucky t-shirt that's also about small, but yeah, make it work.
Strong contenders there. I love that. 84. Would you change your middle name?
Yes.
Do you have something you'd want to change it to? Like Otis or?
I just read the name Christabel today and I thought that was beautiful.
Mm.
Middle name is Evans, which is fine.
It's no Christabel. I mean,
Christabel.
Ooh. I feel the presence of Christabel just walking in the room. Yeah. 85. What's a good impression you can do?
Oh, how much time do you have? I can do a good Judy Garland. I can do Joan Rivers. I can do Audrey Hepburn. I can do Katharine Hepburn. I can do Bernie Sanders. I'm going to do a plug. Can I do a plug?
Please.
For reference for my impressions, please see 365 characters in 365 days, which is on Mary Bird Song's YouTube channel.
A brand integration.
Right.
Excellently done. 86. Is there a tattoo you wanted to get but are glad you didn't get?
No, I don't want a tattoo.
Ooh.
No, life is painful enough. Can I pay you to bring me more pain that I can never get rid of? No,
but they're just They're just stabbing you with thousands of tiny needles.
Oh, I will say this, for as far as impressions go, it's not even one that I do better than others, but I love doing Shirley Temple because it makes my sister laugh so hard that she pees her pants, and it's inappropriate, but I always do this impression of my sister just out of the blue, just to screw with her. Like, grandfather, why is my dress so short? Mother, why is my mommy and daddy? Grandfather, shouldn't I be at school? Like, she's just like, what? It's just, what's happening with Heidi?
Just being carried from one Hollywood lot to another. Just
The dress that cover her privates. Like, let's just call it what it is. Okay?
Yeah. Yeah.
America's sweetheart.
One day I'll take that title, but not yet.
Oh, yes.
87. How would you describe your 16-year-old self?
Very ambitious. And by that, I mean, get me the fuck out of here. but very aspirational, very like, I'm going to do something great. But not quite knowing what it was yet. But yeah, having like big dreams, having big hopes. And not 100% sure it would actually happen, but like, maybe.
I think there's a lot of people who can relate to that around that age, yeah. 88. What's the worst injury you've ever had?
I got a torn meniscus. It's probably not bad, but it involved surgery, so that kind of sucked, but yeah.
Yeah. Well, less than ideal. 89. What's a habit of yours you want to break?
Biting my nails.
It's too tempting, Mary. Right? I don't know how people stop. I don't know. Question 90. Getting on the home stretch here. Have you ever lied on your resume?
It's a strong word. I don't think so. I did say I could, it wasn't on my resume, but I did say I could play the bass once. Yeah, I never had to prove it, so. Still got time.
We've got our interns, we're bringing a bass in right now.
My gosh, look at the time.
Where's that disconnect call button? Let me just... 92? No, 91. Have you ever punched someone in the face?
No, and I really want to.
Does look satisfying, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah.
Tomorrow's another day, you know? 92. Would you ever go to a nude beach?
No. Just no.
Maybe you can get there, punch somebody, and then amstray.
Like, do they really need to these days? Like, isn't that kind of like...
Yeah, most bathing suits get about 95% of the job done. So it's like, what are we really doing?
Walk around your house naked and look at other naked people. You can do that now, like anywhere, anytime. So,
yeah. You know, you got a good point here, Mary. Yeah.
On the floor with sand and you're basically there.
93, somehow not the realist question. When was the last time you cried?
Oh, it was like looking at watch. trying to think. Probably 2 days ago. And look, I'm all better.
Look at this. Look at how the
and weird
works.
That was the only time ever. It's just like 2 days ago. Isn't that crazy?
You had a long streak before that. Right? That was.
What is this water?
A salty discharge from my eyes. What?
See a doctor.
94. What's something you've done and will probably never do again?
Run a half marathon.
Ooh.
I don't need to run a half marathon or a whole marathon. Mm. None of that.
Hot take. Too long. Just too long.
Nope.
95. Best compliment you ever received?
Oh, I remember once Matt Besser read a comedy sketch I wrote, and it was like my first time writing for this show called Crossballs, and I was terrified. I got a nosebleed. The first, they were like, there's your office, and I got a nosebleed. Mm-hmm. But he's like, wow, I think you actually wrote something darker than I did. And I was like, yes! I don't know why. I just felt like I belong.
That's a victory right there. 96. Tell me a joke.
Oh, shoot. I don't believe in jokes.
Oh!
I'm anti-joke.
Anti-joke?
I'm anti-joke. I plead the fifth because I am anti-joke, and I'm really passionate about it. That's my way of saying I don't know any jokes. Oh.
I had an anti-joke person on the podcast and didn't realize it for 96 questions.
That's so many jokes.
No, that is fair. That is fair. 97 used to be a question that I came up with. It just wasn't all that good. But I took it and I threw it in the recycling bin. And I replaced it with the listener question of the week. So if any of our wonderful listeners have a question they want to see used on a future episode, it's 99, of course, the number 99. questionspod@gmail.com or 99 questions pod on Twitter or whatever it's called. This one is from TL Keys. Thank you, TL Keys. Big fan, am currently on a rewatch of Reno 911 and was wondering if you had any favorite on set memories.
Aww.
Thank you, TL. That's a very sweet question.
That is very sweet. Onset memories. Yeah, I remember once I was newly dating somebody. I think it was even my first season as a regular on the show, which would have been, I think, season 3. And I was newly dating this guy and I was really crushing on him. And we were shooting really nearby where he lived. And so I was like telling him how close to his place we were, and I wanted him to come visit the set, and he didn't want to, and I was bad about it. And like me and Niecy Nash, she was like, girl, get in here for a second. I want to talk to you. Listen, does your man have a job? I was like, yeah. Is he working? Like, she just was like, here's what you do. You appreciate the fact that he's working hard. And you go to craft services today and you get an extra container and you get some of that chicken and you bring it to him on the way home. And you say, baby, I'm so glad that you have a job and you're working hard so that you can treat me well. And and she did all this. And I was like, you're so right. Oh, my God. I'm so ungrateful. She was so sweet.
Aww.
And wouldn't you know, like 5 minutes later, he showed up on set.
Aww.
And he was the one who was like, I was just being a jerk, blah, blah, blah. I was so close. I just thought I'd come by and say hi. And we wound up having this amazing day and it was wonderful. But that has always stayed with me, like how just a change of sort of perception can shift everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
Real deep there now. Okay.
All thanks to Niecy Nash. See?
All right.
Also, heck of an impression there. and thank you for the question, TL Keys.
TL Keys!
98. What made you want to be who you are today?
Oh, that's pretty easy, actually.
Oh.
I mean, I don't know if this is the correct answer or what the question's going for, but like Lily Tomlin, Gilda Radner, Carol Burnett, like all of those people. I didn't know what it was they were doing, but I was like, that it was the shyness. Like, I was really extremely shy. And there was something about performing that allowed me to engage with human beings in a way that wasn't terrifying, which is weird because most people are terrified to perform in front of other people.
Yeah.
But I like that it has a structure to it and a ritual to it and a, you know. But yeah, I just loved watching sketch comedians and all of that.
I love that. But we've made it to the top of the mountain here. We've unearthed it with a tiny paintbrush. Question 99, the titular question. What do you want to be remembered for?
Oh, I think being unorthodox and like sort of scrappy, crafty, creative. Like I love making cool stuff out of stuff, you know, making treasure out of trash kind of thing.
Yeah.
And in the literal sense and in the sort of metaphorical sense, I love that. And that's something I definitely got from my mom. And yeah, I admire that. So I'll go with that.
I think that's a phenomenal answer. And I think it is something you're absolutely crushing. truly, I wish I had more questions to ask you, but I'm plumb out. Mary, we did it.
It's a joy. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you so much for taking the time to do this. This was an absolute pleasure. Is there anything you want to plug or promote or waft into the ears of our wonderful listeners? Anything at all? Here, the floor is yours.
I'm good. Really good.
I'm just staying in.
You guys know where to find me.
The amazing Mary Birdsong, everybody. Please follow her. Please check her out. What an absolute gem she is. By the way, the Holiday Snack Bar in LBI is indeed still open. They just wrapped up their 74th season, their 74th summer out there. Show them some love, too. Tell them 99 questions sent you. But it's last call time. The red light's on. Let's figure out what we learned here today. We learned that children growing up these days aspire to be one of two things. One, they want to be Miss America. Or two, they want to be a World War II pilot. We got to find those kids with past lives and talk to them. We learned that Oppenheimer is secretly really hot. I am become death. More like I am become smitten over you. Kaboom. We learned that a 90s-themed theme park is actually probably a really good idea. We learned that clove cookies are never a good idea. And we learned, once again, that Young Frankenstein is the best movie ever made. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have to go apply for the trademark Bob Buell America's Sweetheart. So I'll see you again in 2 weeks for our next episode. Until then, thank you, and good night.